Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn with you. Send your emails in, Hot Shots email of the day. Matt, who bowls at Hanks in a commanding lead for the month of January. He's always good in January, isn't he?
I don't remember.
Oh, check the metrics.
Yep. Guys, my soon-to-be ex-wife left me for my best friend. The sponsor would have been very helpful a few months ago. Anyways, just checking to see if I get a sympathy bang from Doug.
No.
Who was it? Seemed like that part took you by surprise.
Yeah, who was it? I'm like, oh, on board with the sponsors. SoCo Motician?
SoCo Motician has been suspended indeed. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name will be reflected in the leather-bound Llewellyn's Pub suspension law.
Iggy can come to my house for the wrestling show. My parents won't be here, but that's okay as long as he brings my M&Ms. Thanks. That's from T. Terry T.
Funny.
You're really looking for a place to go watch the wrestling?
I am. Now, Beer Cat's invited me, but he lives way out in...
And you have a thing for Lady Beer Cats, correct?
Oh, I think she's very attractive.
This 53-year-old is bringing candy.
Did you bring my M&Ms?
That's where that came from. All right, Doug, enough. Stop it.
Okay, well, you're going in the button, not me.
Doug, Essie
grow
Cup
up.
Is,
grow up, Doug.
Essie Cup is on the appliances counter phone lines, and we want to talk it over with her. Good morning, Essie.
What did I walk into here?
Yeah, we were playing. Remember that Dateline show to catch a predator? Remember that from like 10 years ago?
Of course.
Yeah. I guess we just played a clip from that. That's all it was, and it was, of course,
Pick
apropos of nothing. That's right. Why don't you have a seat over there? Why don't you have a seat over there?
Right.
Essie Cup with us here on the program. Essie, the first 4 days of the Trump administration, I'll make it as open-ended of a question. What do you think?
Action-filled. Certainly very interesting from my side, you know, to cover. I think we've had some high points and some low points. And I'm hoping that Trump and his team are kind of getting their footing. And, you know, I think we've seen a bit of baptism by fire and getting some business out of the way pretty quickly and hopefully settling in.
You know, the country is so divided, and the divide seems to be getting bigger every single day. He's the president of the United States, whether or not you voted for him or supported, he's the guy. My question is, in your opinion, because we've seen the economy really start to take off, he's knocking back regulations and trying to open up a path forward for small businesses. Is there a chance that this guy ends up being a good president?
Look, I'm, you know, I didn't vote for Trump, but I'm really heartened as a conservative by some of the early things that he's done, freezing hiring and wages for federal employees. That makes me happy. That's a good thing to do if you're a conservative who thinks that the government is pretty bloated at the bureaucratic level. You know, if you're not into unions and you don't really love that he met with unions, but I actually saw that as a bigger message. He wasn't just saying I'm with unions. I think he was saying I'm with blue collar guys, manufacturers, coal miners, the people that came out and voted for him. And I think that's really an important message to send. He met with a bunch of CEOs. He talked about cutting corporate taxes. You know, that's fine with me too. I don't love some of the dealings that he and his team have had with the press. That still bothers me. That's bothered me for a long time, the way that he's going to respond to and deal with the press. But again, hopefully they're going to get their footing and realize that having open access to the press and a press that can cover them accurately and honestly is going to be a good thing for them. Hopefully they figure that out soon.
He's had an especially contentious relationship with CNN. What's the mood like at CNN?
Look, we've not enjoyed the fact that Trump has tried to punish one of our reporters and cast the entire network as fake news, which in and of itself is a fake story. That's not good for all of journalism. And every time a BuzzFeed or a New York Times messes up on a story, it's bad for all of us. And we as journalists understand we need to do a better job, but we're very concerned that the president of the United States is undermining the legitimacy of an entire institution that we think is pretty valuable, and that's the free press. So, you know, no one at CNN was happy with the way that the president treated our reporter in a press conference, and I think a lot of people at other networks were not happy to see that too. Hopefully the press can band together and protect each other and do our jobs and hold this administration accountable in the way that a presidency should be held accountable. I think the press was pretty lax on Obama, and if we're finally figuring out that we need to cover a president rigorously now, great. A little late, but great.
How much self-reflection was there at CNN over Donna Brazile sending a question to the Hillary campaign? I'm not saying that made or broke anyone, but, you know, for someone who was an analyst, and even though she was part of the DNC at that point, to do that, you know, was kind of shocking. How much self-reflection was there over that?
You know, I don't really know. I wasn't privy to those high-level conversations, but I know that what I do know is what we said, that, you know, we stand by hiring people who have access to DNC, RNC, the campaigns. That's how we get information, and that's how we distribute information. What we want, though, is transparency and full disclosure, and we try to do that every time. So it's not always a perfect system, but, you know, we stand by that system, and where the breakdown was, we feel was unfortunate and not something we'd want to repeat.
SE Cup, our guest right now here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After Show on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, and always a pleasure to have her on the show and talk things over. The first Tea Party march, if I'm not mistaken, was 3.5 months, SE, of President Obama's administration. Of course, this one was well planned out before Donald Trump's inauguration. You know, 24 hours into President Trump's administration. Do you think that what we saw Saturday will have a lasting effect into November 2018, as many analyzed what we saw in April 2009 had an impact on what we saw in November 2010?
Yeah, that's a great question. The success of the Tea Party was not in the protest, it was in the organizing after, and mm-hmm. turning that into electoral wins in 2010. And we did a great job there. Compare that to the failures of Occupy Wall Street. That was just as big a movement, and it didn't turn into any electoral movement. You know, I don't even think you'd say it was responsible for President Obama's reelection. It just kind of went nowhere. So it will be up to this, you know, not small group of people that turned out around the country in the millions on Saturday to turn that energy into action. We've not really seen that from Democrats in recent memory. But, you know, look, they're mobilized and they're angry. The problem for Democrats is they couldn't get these people to turn out for Hillary Clinton. So are they going to get them to turn out for someone else, whether that's at the midterms or in 2020? That remains to be seen. I think there needs to be some very serious introspection in the Democratic Party about where they're going and how they got to this place. And I'm not too optimistic that they've learned any lessons. I know that on Saturday, instead of showing up at the march, 6 of the 7 candidates to be chair of the DNC were not at the march, or any of the marches. They were at a Florida resort meeting with David Brock, a Hillary Clinton backer, and a bunch of donors to talk about how he can continue to not help Hillary Clinton get elected. I mean, not looking very good for the upper echelons of the Democratic Party right now.
I think there were a lot of people that watched those marches and wondered what exactly they're protesting, and it seemed like the answer is everything. Anybody who was mad about something was out there. Is that just what it was about? Is people just unhappy with the election result?
You know, I talked to a lot of people who went, and I had a lot of friends who went, and not all of whom were women. And they said they just wanted to be heard. And I said, wasn't that what your vote was for? And they said, no, it didn't feel sufficient. You know, we didn't think Trump was ever going to actually get elected. And we needed to go and we needed to feel heard that this is, you know, his rhetoric, his actions, his policies are not okay. And I said, do you think that you're going to remember that in 2 years and 4 years? And they assured me, yes, that this wasn't going away. But, you know, he's the president now. And if I'm a Democrat or even if I'm a Republican who's opposing Trump and wants someone else reelected, it's time to put your head down and get to work. All the protests and marches, not unimportant. I love the First Amendment. But at the same time, it's time to get busy. And so all of the squabbling over tweets and crowd size, and this is a message for Trump too, it's just nonsense. It's time to get to work. Everyone needs to realize we've got some serious issues to fix. And boycotting inaugurations and protesting and tweeting about crowd size, this is nonsense. This is not the stuff that the American people care about. We've got to get busy.
You know, my opinion is that most people in the United States are somewhere in the middle. You could say right, you know, lean to the right or lean to the left a little, I know, but somewhere in the middle. And then in the wake of the Trump election, and he did, you know, take a lot of counties that had voted Obama before, I was thinking, well, at least maybe we're going to move somewhere in the middle, because I don't think Trump is this arch conservative to begin with anyway. He used to identify as a Democrat. I thought the Democrats would look toward being more in the middle, but it seems their future, they think, lies by moving more to the left. How do you see the path that the Democrats will take going forward?
I think their party's in sort of an existential crisis, right? They're looking at who they left behind, and that's a lot of Trump voters who used to be maybe Blue Dog Democrats, Reagan Democrats, Rust Belt Democrats. They felt left behind by their party. So they see that, and they think about reconciling that. But they also have an urge that they can't shake to move to the far left, and that's an urge backed by radical progressives like Elizabeth Warren. These are their stars of their party, and people like Bernie Sanders and Warren and Bill de Blasio, I mean, that's their bench. And they don't have any stars from the Rust Belt right now. So they really have to figure out either how to bridge that gap to get all those people voting Democrat or pick a lane. And it's pretty perilous. I mean, I complained as a conservative that Trump wasn't ideologically conservatively underpinned, but that really plays to his advantage. You know, he's not married to party or principle in a way that we can really identify. So he does what he thinks is good for his agenda. And that's at one time meeting with labor unions and another time meeting with CEOs. That's one time repealing trade. It's another repealing Obamacare. So, you know, he has the ability, if he's interested, to get a lot of new different kinds of voters and fans and pull people to the Republican Party, because that's, you know, the party he ran on. But he also has an opportunity to be pretty divisive if he wants. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what kind of president he wants to be.
And when you consider around the country, I think there's been more than a thousand different Democrats who've lost their seats to Republicans in all the state houses and senates all over the nation. And now there's like, I think it's 32 Republican governors. It's possible, I suppose, if the Republicans had nominated a normal candidate, that their election victory would have been much greater than it was. Could it be that the Democrats are in even more trouble than what you might think, just watching to see how close the election was between Hillary and Trump?
It's pretty chilling. I mean, look all around. Hillary Clinton, for example, won union households, that's households with one member, at least one member in a union, by an 8-point margin. That's as good as a Republican has done since Reagan. So if you look at the different demographics, you know, Hillary won women, but she lost white women by 10 points. She lost white women without a college degree by even more. You have to be, if you're a Democrat, you have to be concerned about these margins and these deficits. And you have to wonder, obviously, you know, we picked the wrong candidate in Hillary Clinton, and anyone could see that she was not going to be a good candidate from the start. You have to think that if someone like Donald Trump could beat their, you know, anointed candidate, you have to wonder, there's a problem in the party. And so, like I said, the Democrats are facing an existential crisis, and I don't see them really reconciling with it all that much. You know, reelecting Nancy Pelosi instead of Tim Ryan, who is from Ohio, a guy who was younger, Midwestern, could really put a new face on the party. Instead, Nancy Pelosi says, no, I want to keep my job, and we'll find young people from the Midwest to empower. That's just a terrible message if you're a party that just lost so badly as it did in the White House, in the state houses, and in the legislature.
When you hear the Republicans talk about the president's pick for his candidate, they talk about great people, a lot of support. Then you hear the Democrats saying that they're terrible choices, and you know they need to be vetted more so than some of the other candidates because they come from not a political background. What is your general view of the cabinet choices that President Trump has made?
I've really enjoyed them. I thought they were really smart picks. And I think when it comes to people like, Rex Tillerson or DeVos, people who don't come from politics, I understand the vetting, and that should happen. They don't have a political record. We need to understand what they know. But when it comes to people like Mike Pompeo, if you can't get like a run-of-the-mill congressman passed as your head of CIA, that looks pretty political to me on the part of Democrats. And I know they approved him late last night, but that kind of grandstanding, I think, looks silly. Republicans approved a lot of Obama picks pretty early. I get the extreme vetting for the non-political people, but when it comes to members of Congress that you just maybe disagree with politically, these guys are pretty qualified. So we need to get to work.
Do you agree with the storyline that Russia really had a huge impact on the election?
I think it's clear they wanted to, and I think we should investigate that. And I think the Trump administration should want that really seriously looked at. But I don't think there's any evidence from CIA or any other intelligence community spokespeople that they had an effect on the election. I know they wanted to. That's pretty clear. But to say that they actually affected or impacted the election, I just don't see that in evidence.
Yeah, I don't know how many people went to the polls and said, "Well, geez, I wonder what Putin wants me to do." I know, perhaps that they helped leak the emails and that changed some opinions, but they're kind of leaking things that really happened.
Well, yeah, and look, that like I said, they really wanted to impact the election, and I don't know how many people went to the polls wondering about John Podesta's emails. I don't know. I have to think that most voters have bigger issues on their minds than that. But, certainly some of the stuff we learned about Hillary Clinton and the DNC and some of her friends was pretty damning. But as you said, it's stuff that actually happened, except in the case of Pizzagate. It's stuff that actually happened. So, you have to kind of just deal with this modern world we're living in and investigate what happened to the fullest to make sure we can stop these kinds of things from happening in the future.
SE Cup, our guest. Always great to have her on the program. SE, thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.
Thank you.
SE Cup with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. Call in the Appliance Discounter phone lines or text in as well. Let's see. A bunch of texts coming in. Democrats need to throw out the old complacent leadership, embrace Bernie Sanders and Warren and others who can connect with the average voter instead of being beholden to Wall Street and other big money donors. Just my two cents.
It's a little late for Bernie. Bernie's, what, 74 already?
Warren's no spring chicken either.
No, those two aren't going to get it.
Ask her when my cake will be ready, Big Al. Trump is going to throw bones to the far right to get business done. How far will he go? Steve in Wildwood. Let's see. Crazy to think the Democrats are in crisis when that's what we were hearing about Republicans this summer when everyone thought Trump was going to lose and destroy the party. It's from Big Hoss.
Yeah, true that.
Media relentlessly tried to elect Clinton. Flat out wouldn't cover her corruption. Still won't. Zero credibility. It's an interesting perspective. While I enjoy SE Cup on many topics, I am not okay with her blindly saying, let's get to work, and doesn't seem like she cares who's leading the charge. I do. We should really be vetting these cabinet picks, and people demonstrating their beliefs is getting to work, too. That's from the 314.
Yeah, one of the things about the cabinet that I understand is true is that some of these folks hadn't filled out the proper paperwork. So that causes a delay. Look, I'm all for the two parties jousting. You know, to me, that's a safety net for America, that you have one side trying to check the other side. But at some point, you know, and that would go for the Republicans or Democrats. We have a president. We have some issues, obviously, we need to take care of. Let's see if we can get to work. So I agree with
most of these cabinet picks. They didn't just come out of nowhere. They're people that are well-known, business leaders,
but in fairness,
generals.
In fairness, yeah. And those guys, most of them will sail through. But if you take business people who have no background in politics, they want to check financial records, which they should, to make sure that they're the word is entanglement that I hear thrown around a lot. No financial entanglements that could compromise them in doing their job, which I think is fair to look at.
And they check out what you've done in your personal life, too, for all these several thousand that they have to hire to run the government again when a new administration comes in. They check out everybody to make sure somebody doesn't have something, some skeleton rattling around in the closet that's going to cause them problems.
It's not lost on me, though, that, you know, the Democrats cried obstruction. Now the Republicans are crying obstruction. It's the same game.
Now, it came out today, after 3 days in office, his approval rating is 45. Is it safe to say that no matter what he does, he's an under 50% approval rating for 4 years?
Not if the economy takes off. To me, I mean, he's there are going to be people that don't like him, just like there were people that didn't like Obama and wouldn't give Obama credit. I'm not blind to that. But if the economy can get on the right track, and I'm talking about, you know, a different level than we've seen over the last years, where it made slow and steady progress, but really takes off, I think a lot of people will be won over, unless, and I think S.E. Cupp put it well, Trump does things to antagonize the other side along the way.
I think that's where it plays in. No matter what he does, he'll do something that'll keep him under 50%. And it may have nothing to do with economy or jobs. It'll be something stupid on Twitter, where it'll just keep him an approval rating under 50 for his entire time.
You know,
in office.
The Twitter thing with him has helped him and it's killed him. Like I read his tweets and it's cringy sometimes. You know, why would he even care about the crowd size? It's petty.
Yeah, he does though. He does. And of all the crazy, stupid things that he said, it's that video with Billy Bush that people have really latched onto more than anything else. That was the theme of much of the marches this past week. It was that video, something he said in private, should never have said, but he said in private, that's the one that everyone's clinging on to. And I'm sure half the country will never let that go.
And he's backed off his immigration stance, where he said they should be vetted by religion, which I don't know anyone who has any sort of fairness is okay with. But extreme vetting for troubled regions where there's no central government to... I can understand that, but that's a far different cry from what he said, and he took a lot of heat for what he said, and I think rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever going to be a president with a high approval rating. Not that that really matters. The Republicans pretty much got the approval of the voters, and they hold majorities in the House and the Senate, and that's the important thing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Back to you, Tim. Yeah.
You can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, Safe Trek is a new sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Would you let the listeners know what Safe Trek
is? It's an app. What it is an app designed to keep you or your loved one safe. In emergencies, dialing 911 isn't always possible. And if you're unable to talk, help can't always find exactly where you are. Thankfully, with this new SafeTrek app, anyone can get police sent to their exact location at just the push of a button. There's no talking required. SafeTrek is the 911 of the digital age, built for the smartphone era, and it works round the clock, 24/7, 365, everywhere in the United States. You can give yourself peace of mind knowing the people you care about are safe. You literally punch up this app on your phone, and if you think you're in a dangerous situation, you hold your thumb down on the app, and if you are in a dangerous situation, you let up on it, and it'll send a message right to the police, and they'll know right where you are. Download it today from the App Store or email info@safetrekapp.com for family and business plans. Again, that's SafeTrek, SafeTrek. Get it today.
Sweet, sweet action. SafeTrek, a new sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning after. We had Dave Peacock on the program yesterday and Scott Ogilvie on the program, the 24th Ward Alderman. Mike Falk advancing the story as much as there is to be advanced anyway. Today, bringing Major League Soccer to St. Louis, always hinged on the Board of Aldermen and city voters, but now it likely will involve a judge. As Tuesday's 10-week deadline expires for the Board of Aldermen to approve propositions for the April 4th elections, soccer supporters hope late action by the board will save the proposal. If the board passes the public funding proposal, the city has until February 21st to get a circuit court judge to put it to voters. That's according to state law. The $60 million city funding portion for 22,000-seat stadium west of Union Station was tabled Thursday at the city's Ways and Means Committee after disagreements among aldermen. SCSTL Vice Chairman Jim Cavanaugh said, the plan isn't being negotiated, but we are validating the numbers to make sure everyone's on the same page. So that is the state of the MLS bill. In San Diego, they put something on the table yesterday.
Nice, too.
So very substantial. With the Chargers leaving for L.A., a group of private investors unveiled plans Monday to bring an MLS team to San Diego and build a stadium that can be shared with San Diego State. In addition to the joint-use venue, which could seat up to 30,000, the 166-acre Qualcomm Stadium site, which has housed the Chargers, would also be used for sports and entertainment district, according to the FS Investors Group's plans. The plans also set aside acreage for a larger stadium in case the NFL decides to return to San Diego. There are a lot of people that were disappointed with that Chargers move, and understandably so. That comes from an investor in the project, but we think this is a really, really interesting time to look at the opportunity to bring soccer to San Diego. It's a very logical market for that. So that is what the Chargers' former home is trying to do within a week of what took place with San Diego.
Has to be more expensive than the one we want. It has to be privately funded, which creates an obstacle-free path for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like it.
You would think it'd be easier to privately fund a soccer stadium than football, obviously. Football stadiums are started $1 billion nowadays. Soccer, you can get that done for $150, $200 million. I mean, we could privately fund a soccer stadium, right. The three of us, the five of us here, certainly.
Just with the cash in our wallet.
I think so.
Doug, Olivia Munn wrote a letter to Packers fans.
Did she?
Did. Posted on Insta. You ever post a letter on Insta?
No, I never have.
So proud of this team. They faced a lot of adversity on and off the field, but battled to get this far. Thank you, and caps to those of you who encouraged and supported them by choosing to put out only positive. And then she put little stars around that energy. It helped them get this far. Then two hearts. That's from Olivia Munn on her Insta.
I like a positive message like that. Doug, do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
Do you use it?
No.
Have you used it?
I think I sent out one thing.
Would you send out?
I don't remember what it was. No, I don't. I think it was a charity thing.
How do you decide, Tim, when you're like, boy, I got this great picture or hot takes? Do I go Instagram or Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I mean, if you put it on Instagram, it also then connects to your Twitter and your Facebook. So it's a one-touch shoot. Doug, it's a one-touch shoot.
Okay, all right. I'm with the cat, though. I don't know why you really need Instagram if you've got the other two.
Well, you can make like a little rabbit face over your face. Isn't that what you can do on Instagram?
That's Snapchat, baby. Snapchat. Oh. Doug, you like those filters where you can turn yourself into an animal like a furry?
I really, really haven't used it, Tim. I don't mean to disappoint you.
You can wager on what Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will say during Super Bowl 51. And Doug, if you want to place any bets that you see to be a lucrative play with an edge for you, you can bet on whether or not the term Matty Ice will be said during the broadcast. You sure got to lay 140 to win 100, but if you bet against it and bet 100, you win 110. So it is a favorite to be said. Will Aaron Hernandez's name be said during the broadcast? Yes, is it plus 190, but you got to bet 260 to win 100 on no.
I don't think Aaron Hernandez will come up.
So why don't you make that play?
I'm surprised they allow bets like that because that could be so easily manipulated.
How, baby, how?
By the people involved.
So you think Joe Buck is on the take? Is that what you're saying?
Anytime there's a human involved, it makes it easily manipulated.
Well, you also have players on the field that are human.
Shout at the NFL's Los Angeles committee.
Yeah, the players. I agree with Doug. I mean, you can bet on how long the national anthem's going to be. What if that singer sent somebody to Vegas? Sent like 10 people. I want all of 10 of you people to bet $100,000. It's over 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
I believe, because I've seen these and done these on Bovada, that there's like a cap of $100.
Oh, okay.
They're novelty bets.
Yeah.
And the truth is, too, if the national anthem went 7 seconds too long to cover, I don't think America would be damaged by that anyway. Whereas if a player was on the take,
that's
standard.
That would be, America being damaged, that's not the standard of cheating in Vegas.
No, what I'm saying is, because I don't really worry about that, I do worry about a bet being somehow impactful for the game. That would cause huge damage. The national anthem, who cares?
My bookie only takes the coin flip. He doesn't do that other stuff.
What's his name?
Vinny Bubatz.
I like it.
Dr. Vinny Bubatz. Wasn't he Johnny Carson's doctor?
I don't know. That popped into my head for some reason.
After my last bet, I was so sure about Alabama, my betting days are over.
You're done retiring.
Yeah. I was certain on that.
I was pretty sure the Packers would win. That didn't happen.
I can lay odds that the Super Bowl halftime show will be the best ever.
It seems like the hotter broads are all on Instagram. Thanks, Steve Wildwood. So he's on Instagram trolling for women.
You can troll for women on Instagram?
Sure.
Is Instagram where you can't post nudity?
Doug?
I don't know.
Doug, you just asked the question, so answer.
I don't know. You can't do it on Facebook either.
Wait a minute. You're on Instagram, yet you don't know the rules of Instagram. Seems suspicious.
Well, a lot of filters on that Instagram, Tim, that can make you look a little bit better than you actually do.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and it's so obvious when girls do that, and it's such a turnoff when they do.
Agree.
Like what?
There's filters, it's like Sybil Shepherd and moonlighting, and then they said she was shot through a filter, didn't they?
Let's say you got like a snaggle tooth.
They can fix that? That's an orthodontist.
You can take it to a darker shade, and maybe the guy or someone looking at your Instagram won't see the snaggle tooth, but if you look at it in a normal filter, obviously it's hanging out.
It's originally, in my opinion, why on Twitter so many females took those selfies for their profile picture in cars.
Yeah, what was that about? I wonder what that was about.
I believe that the light, I believe it had to do with the lighting.
But that's okay. Everybody wants their picture taken in good lighting.
But the point is you hold it up high so you get a more flattering angle. With Instagram, you can use, as I understand it, different shading and different filters to enhance the picture to make you look better.
The angle itself can take you down from 190 to 160.
Really?
Yeah. That's a huge difference, Doug.
Well, if you hold it down low, then you're kind of shooting up your nostrils. Nobody wants that angle.
You're also accentuating the neck.
You leave that turkey neck right up out there.
Yeah, you don't want the turkey neck. So when you do your selfie, you want to probably hold it up high and accentuate your beautiful eyes as opposed to your turkey neck.
Okay.
Loved that SC Cup interview, except I wonder how young she was when she became sexually active.
Thanks, it comes from
a gaping stepdad.
That was going to be the next question.
You friend all your son's friends that are 20-something on Instagram. It's not creepy at all. Thanks. It's from Stephen Wild.
Sounds creepy.
That's how he sees the girls on Instagram.
That's a whole world that I just don't want to be part of. That's kind of why I never got on Facebook. I always hear people railing against this or that don't need it. I'll just tweet Cardinal birthdays.
Well, I mean, I unsubscribe from, I guess, 95 to 99% of the people I'm friends with on Facebook, so I'm not aware of, the hot political takes, and so I don't see them from just, people I kind of knew or people who are listeners of the show, and so I don't really have a, connection from being friends from years ago, as is the case, I guess, for most people on Facebook. So I don't see this stuff. But I guess that's what goes on, and I don't really know why, but people take to Facebook to give hot political takes, and then it leads to arguments. But since I unsubscribe from so many people, I don't see it, so I don't know.
So I saw somebody tweet.
But that doesn't go on. So if you don't want that crap, that doesn't go on Instagram. It's just pictures.
Someone said, and it was a celebrity. It was someone well-known. I don't remember who, but they said that they were fooling themselves because they were giving hot takes on either Facebook or Twitter, and they said, you have to understand, don't feel like you've accomplished anything when you got off your red-hot political take on either Facebook or Twitter, because you didn't. You're not going to convince anyone on Twitter that your political view is the right one.
Probably.
Don't think like you accomplished
Twitter.
Anything.
That was Larry trying to about it.
I got to restart the computer.
Doug, restart it.
All right.
There it is.
Take time for your reset there, Plowsy. Jake Allen needed one of those last weekend.
Nice dying. Nice dying. Think he's going to be all right, Doug? You think a little time off will help him clear his head?
I think he will. He's been too good for too long.
He has been
just
good.
To say all of a sudden, we've decided in January that he can't play anymore.
Because I'll tell you what, Doug, and get the hot take bell ready. The Blues are going to go anywhere this season. Jake Allen is going to have to be very good.
I'll be turned. Well, I didn't think of that.
Thanks for that,
I didn't
Tim.
Think of that.
Wow.
Thanks, Tim.
Unless one of the other guys is better. There is that. Phoenix Copley looked pretty good. How do you know he might not be the better goalie
saves.
Unless you give him a try? It's just what we were talking about with Brian Elliott. All he did was put up the best numbers that any Blues goalie has ever put up. And because he had the label of, well, he's kind of a backup, he could not shake it until right at the end.
Except Elliott did it in the postseason. They don't get to where they got last year without Elliott. He was sensational.
He was.
There's a difference in when a guy comes up and
well, he did it because terrible. Because he got a chance.
Yeah.
And for years, he never got the chance.
But the thinking is, we've seen Jake Allen be very, very good. Chances are he's the guy that will lead them if they're going to go anywhere, as opposed to a youngster. Well, even
people that see him practice every day and play every day, they seem to be of the opinion that Jake Allen is the best goalie they have. And those of us who watch a game or two a week, if that, it's hard for us to really know who the better goalie is.
You're a puckhead. You know what you're seeing.
Serious puckhead, yeah. But you know what I realize?
You go to morning skates.
You know what I realize? I have resting bitch face.
Clip that off if you could, Plow Penguin.
I understand. Go ahead, Doug. Explain to the...
That's kind of like when you're not talking, when you're just kind of have no expression, nothing to say at all. It kind of looks like you're mad. I've kind of got one of those faces.
Where did you learn this phraseology, sir?
Somebody said that Barron Trump had resting bitch face on Twitter.
What a nice thing to say about a 10-year-old.
Yeah, that's what they're saying about a 10-year-old. I realize I think I have that, too.
Here, Iggy, say something real quick, and I want to watch Doug's face while you're speaking, if you have a put you on the spot here.
For some reason, Jian Zhang from the LPGA is following me on Instagram.
That's a nice follow there,
and
guys.
Your face, and Doug, your face was not what you said it was.
Yes, it is.
It seemed like a
decent
look at face.
Look at it.
I don't see
That's it.
I don't think you do. I really don't. Doug, this is Tad.
Well, hello, Taddy.
Well, good morning, boys.
Well, how are you, Tadzy?
I can't remember the last time we had a Tad on the air.
Tad Punter.
I've been on before, and it was like one of the greatest days of my life.
Oh, good.
But I wanted to call. I felt compelled to share a message.
All right.
About how powerful you guys are, and more in particular, how powerful Tim is.
Oh, heaven's sakes.
Good
ringing
there, Tim.
And I want everybody to know that there's a level of respect that is owed to the text inbox as well as the fan page.
Why? Why would there be needed a level of respect
for, you, Tad.
For people who text
because
in the most vile things they can think of?
That's what I'm saying. The vileness is one thing, but then there's other things that you have to understand that the show is bigger than you are.
Yeah, Doug.
And if somebody has a problem with what y'all are talking about, then they just need to change the station or just try to get into whatever it is y'all are talking about. But don't text the texting box to express any displeasure over those things or you will get blocked from the fan page.
They do that all day. They do that the entire show. People are complaining and sending in vileness.
Well, I just think that people need to take a good hard look at themselves to be sure that they are not disrespecting the empire that you all are sitting at.
Let's call it Tim.
The fan page, and it really pissed me off.
It's Tim.
Is that the same? That was you, Tad?
That is me. Yeah,
that was Tad.
Yeah,
that's an old drop, isn't it, Plow Penguin?
Tad, any chance you could stop by the studio? We have some new BP commercials to cut, and you'd make a wonderful coach.
I would love to. If I didn't live in West Tennessee, I'd be up there in 10 minutes.
Memphis way?
Actually, about an hour north of Memphis. I grew up here, and we go to St. Louis quite a bit to Cardinal games and Blues games and whatnot. So St. Louis is very special to me.
Well, what got you started listening to this horrible show?
Because I'm a big fan of the Cat. And through I became very fond of you too, Mr. Doug.
Oh, well, thank you, Teddy.
And I think Tim is a very respectful journalist in the area, and I think he tells it like it is, and I just really enjoy his takes, his real-life takes.
Okay,
on
lighten up a little on the lemonading.
Well, Tad, we think you're a delight, sir. Thank you.
Now, there are a bunch of people texting in insisting that this is Bobby Bestel, but I don't believe it is.
It's not. This is Tad. Tim, you exchanged several emails with me this week about getting
I said call in at Tuesday at 9:40 and perform oral on me over the air. and you are absolutely delivering.
What?
Well, I mean, if that's what you want to call it, I don't know.
No, I appreciate it. I do. I can say this. I did exchange emails with Tad, and I believe I know his real name. And so I do think that this person's... Other people also think this is Adam Wainwright, and I doubt that Adam Wainwright would be calling in.
No,
but maybe,
not Adam Wainwright.
Maybe it would be.
No.
No, Bobby Bestel... I don't know if Bobby Bestel calls into the show.
Well, I can confirm that I'm not that piece of crap.
Wow.
Hey.
Easy does it there, Tennessee.
Was that the fan
page? Easy really does it, Tennessee.
Was that the fan page you were blocked from?
I don't really know Bobby that well to judge him like that either. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. You're a good man.
Wasn't a good thing to say.
Well, Ted, thank you for being a loyal listener, especially. Doug, we're big in Tennessee.
Apparently so.
We have Rondo and we have Ted.
Jackson, Tennessee, baby.
Jackson, Tennessee. How are things in Jackson, Tennessee? How are the women in Jackson, Tennessee, Ted?
They're ugly.
Oh, come on now. They can't be that bad. There's got to be some hillbilly gals that are okay.
Well, there's nothing wrong with hillbilly.
No.
Flip that off. But I sometimes I find myself really attracted to Southern women. But you're saying that that's not necessarily what's going on in your nape of the woods, neck of the way? What are you doing?
Well, they're not all trashy or hillbilly. I mean, there's some pretty classy girls around here.
I'm sure there are.
But, I mean, I know we get it honest, I guess.
What, you're saying that a mass generalization is not correct? Of course. There's probably attractive women everywhere, Doug. How dare you?
Yeah, but there are certain cities that seem to have a higher per capita. You know, like I wasn't aware of Scottsdale, Arizona's whole thing until I was out there covering Cardinals Diamondbacks in the playoffs 15 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, this is...
Well, it's a wealthy area.
I didn't know that. I don't think it was well known at that time what was going on there. So, I mean, that city's really, truly grown. It's a huge city area-wise, but population-wise, and specifically... Scottsdale. What are some other ones? I mean, you know, New York, L.A., Miami.
Missoula, Montana.
And Missoula, Montana are the obvious ones. But I don't know. You go down to one of those SEC football games, tailgates, and holy moly. Holy moly. Mm-hmm. You a Vols fan, Ted?
Actually, I am a Vols fan.
Yeah. You know Rondo by chance?
No, we don't really, you know, he was not even... given very much attention by the UT people.
Oh, no.
They don't really claim people like that.
Someone said this is Tucker.
He kind of disappeared.
People think that this is Tucker. Chad, are you Tucker, the caller who hangs out at El Pizza in Ladue picking up lesbian moms?
No, I'm not, because like I said, I'm from Tennessee. I live in West Tennessee, and I stream the show on TuneIn Radio, so that would not be me.
Yeah, unless this is like a really intricate level, I communicated with Tad over the weekend, a few different emails.
Yes, you did.
And so...
And I appreciate everything that you did to get me back on, and you're the real deal, Tim.
Okay.
Put that off.
We all believe Tim is the real deal. We all believe that. That's why we work here. That's why we come to work early and stay late.
Off the field.
I think that was Rondo. Yeah, another Derek Dooley loss. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been following Missouri, actually. Tad, good to hear from you, sir. Don't be a stranger.
I sure won't. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tad.
Night, Tadzy.
Tad from Tennessee.
It's nice to have a Tad on the air.
It is nice.
I'm trying to think if I... No, I'm sure there have been a few, but I've been to almost every city in Tennessee.
That's a lot. That'd be hundreds.
Well,
Good for you, Iggy. That is great.
Every big city. I've been to Knoxville. I've been to Nashville. I've been to Memphis. I've been to
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, I've gone through.
The Chattanooga Choo Choo.
I've been to those places. Germantown. You ever go to Germantown?
I just don't remember seeing an really ugly girl.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Now, I'm not talking about the Hoosier tourists that are there. I'm talking about going into restaurants and bars and whatever. It just seems like every girl in Tennessee is just cute.
I'm sure there are some that aren't as cute, and I'm sure in some of the places you wouldn't think where they have attractive women, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying 100% of every woman in Tennessee is gorgeous. I'm just saying the places I've gone in those cities, it just seems like bartenders, waitresses, somebody behind the counter, they're all just very attractive looking Southern girls.
I bet if you looked harder, you could find some Philly ugly as a mud fence.
Guys, this guy's accent makes me want to run, B. That comes from Manchild. I think I'm going to give him text of the day.
That's good.
Free roast beef sandwich from Lion's Choice.
All right.
Now, Tad's a good guy. Tad's a good guy. We had email exchanges, and he's a good fellow.
He seems like a good sort.
I think he's legitimate, and unless it's a brilliant Manti Te'o like catfishing,
which we
have been exposed to before on the fan page.
Doesn't it cross your mind, though, that we're sitting in the studio, and we've all done modeling, you know, we're all genetically superior, so it's easy for us to look down on others. We need to get over ourselves.
And we've had some work done.
What did you have, the lips? You had the Botox in your lip?
I had a nose job.
Collagen injection, bro?
I had that, too.
I had an Adam's apple restoration so I can look more masculine.
Didn't take.
Why, you?
How about that?
That's why I have to... I just can't handle the heat.
I wouldn't think you
could. Gotta get out of the kitchen.
Please, more Rondo drops, Plow Penguin. That's from the 618. Iggy, are the girls in Tennessee sexually active at a young age? It's from Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four.
In the backwoods, maybe. Those small towns, they don't have anything else to do.
Old bastard, you.
Okay.
Get this mother off the field. Derek Dooley, the car he drives, Barbara Dooley for giving birth to his abomination ass, type of milk that he buys to pour on his little children's corn pops and sugar smacks, his hairstylist, his hair.
Wow. Just venom. Just spraying venom.
Guys, can we really trust the taste of women from a guy who picked a hammerhead shark as the 29th top porn star of all time? Justin in Columbia.
Boy, he picks his spots.
Justin in Columbia does.
And he comes in large.
He does.
I didn't find her that ugly. I thought she was attractive.
With eyes on the side of her head?
No, she didn't have eyes on the side of her head.
Helps to see behind you if you do. I think that's why hammerhead sharks have eyes there.
Yeah, Vanessa Del Rio didn't get much love yesterday either. I told you people, there's going to be a lot of shrubs in these pictures.
Okay.
And my choices, and they're old-time porn stars, and the youngsters just aren't getting it.
I could have gone pumpkin picking!
Are you putting on the list that that lovely 80-year-old woman we had in studio?
Oh, Seca, or Kitten Navidad, either one.
Mm.
You still liked them, and God bless, because I know you were reminiscing. But they seem to be wonderful, but maybe a little
delights.
Maybe a little past.
You know what we were doing last night? I'll tell you what we were doing last night.
Oh, you and Iggy?
No, me and Anna Marie.
I was bowling.
The Larry Sanders Show is now available on HBO Go, and it is my favorite show of all time.
Really?
Oh, my
Mine
God.
Mine too.
And that's where I was wondering. Anna Marie was watching, and she hadn't watched it because she was probably 8 when it came out. Because they were talking about the presidential election between Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is hitting me a little bit. Artie, his producer, my favorite character on the... Well, I don't know. Hank Kingsley might be...
Tie for first.
Yeah. But he would call everyone a delight. Is that where delight comes from?
No, it actually came from Lance Lynn.
I wonder if Lance Lynn took it from him. He's a young man, though. He's in his late 20s.
Lance Lynn had one of those... early on, he would kind of be short with the media and people didn't know how to read him.
Plowhawk, you might have some examples.
He used the word delight to describe his performance.
How good was it just to see this team get the win?
Yeah, it was very good.
Plowhawk's on it.
Very good.
Plowhawk's on it. He's having a big
now
show.
You were saying delight way before that. I remember when we had Terry Weigel on, and you asked her about a good fondue, and then you said, you've been a delight.
Yeah, there was no Lance Lynn at that time.
Is she going to make the top 30 list? Probably will.
Iggy doesn't show any cards, man.
Yeah, I don't. But I used to text Kat when I wasn't working.
That's true.
I was working at the other station, but I would text Kat.
Look,
throw in a delight, would you?
Can I just say that I'm trying to build Lance Leno. He's coming off surgery, so I'm trying to give him credit because I'm a rights holder.
I got the great thing from Artie Lang. he would always say, it's just like somebody who couldn't have been more middle of the road or you've never heard of saying the great so-and-so. And that comes from his producer, Artie. But I don't know if that's where Artie Lang took it. Again, Doug, these are two separate Arties. Mm-hmm. It's the character played by Rip Torn. That's right. Yeah. So you're familiar with the program, too.
Sure.
So it could be a hackneyed guest, and he would build them up by saying the great and talent.
Yes, absolutely. And all he would do would kiss his host's ass and prop him up and protect him from all the ne'er-do-wells in management. And I'm like, God.
But Hank Kingsley was the greatest character.
To protect myself from myself.
Hank Kingsley was the greatest
for the reals. And now, I mean, those shows were about 22 minutes, and I'm telling you, like, yesterday I was saying I only had, like, 2.5 hours of sleep. I was sick. I felt awful, and I'm just like, I'm just going to watch some Larry Sanders shows. And it picked me up.
In a good place.
It did. It put me in a good place. And my wife, who was upstairs, could hear me giggling, and she goes, what are you doing down here? And I said, you got to watch this episode.
What would you like to do in 2017?
I'd like to win a World Series.
It's from this most recent winter warm-up.
And Channeling is brilliant.
But he died last year.
He did.
Can I ask you a question? Because I have HBO, obviously, on my cable. How do you get a password for HBO Go? Because I've never
from your
done
provider.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to call
so you
the
can
provider.
Watch it. You got an iPhone?
No.
If you have an iPhone, you might be able to. I don't know what you have. But
you can't watch it on your TV?
I don't know. I mean, we have Apple TV and then a smart TV, and so that's where we're watching it.
Because I have smart TV, so you can watch it.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. If it's stored on there. Okay. Yes, Plowhawk, were you about to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, if you have an Xbox or PlayStation, you can also download the app or download HBO Go on that and watch it, similar to Netflix.
Nintendo
Classic.
This is how the cable networks are staying relevant because people are saying more and more people are just getting rid of their TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're HBO,
people go with Sling too, man. That's like a thing.
And now we have delivery outside of people that have televisions. We're still good.
Because I want to watch old episodes of Oz, and I was told I can only do that on HBO Go.
Now, there's a lot of gay stuff in that, isn't there?
Well, it's a guy's prison, yeah.
Oh, Jiminy Iggy.
J.K. Simmons won an Academy Award, and he was known for just walking around.
I think the listeners want to know if you ever watched an episode of Oz and were taken by surprise by something you saw. I think that's where
the great Edie Falco's in that, Ernie Hudson, a lot of great actors in there. J.K. Simmons.
You like a nude prison scene?
God, you're having a big day, buddy. Your drops of the day are going to be like 50 of you. No, it was a very gritty show. I like that show.
Iggy, the giant shrubs on Vanessa Del Rio were number 5 on the list of things that were wrong with her. Try again, Queen.
There are Justin and Clint. Can be attractive.
My God. Whatever happened to Warren? Wasn't that her husband?
Do I need that?
Warren, Terry Weigel's husband?
Merle.
He passed on.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Right after making toast.
He died after making toast.
Happens to the best of them.
Stay away from that toast, Doug.
Yeah, no, he's toast.
Let's see. Iggy, I'll give you my HBO Go password if you promise to stop doing the all-time porn star list. Juan from PP Corp.
Come on, I'm getting into some superstars now, so stay tuned.
I don't know if I could do a list of 30 like since 95. But even that for our audience, that's going back to when some of them were like 5 years old. So that does us no good. You know, because I feel like I got to go 95 so I can include Chasey Lane and Janine Lindemolder. If I do the last 10 years.
What's wrong with you?
I feel like that's important to do.
Yeah, it's crucial. It's vital to the whole process.
Well, that's the problem with this is because we have so many young people on the fan page that they don't know these people. And I'm trying to educate them.
Maybe we can do a 50 and over morning after fan page and have like 6 people on there.
It's kind of like a service project for you.
Yeah. So there's no geezers like us on the fan page. Right?
No, there's some.
Right.
There are a lot of watchers in the woods. A lot of people who read but don't post.
You can tell.
Tony Doe is very active right now, Doug.
Yeah, you can tell because they'll compliment my pick, while 95% of them will, this is a dumpster fire and, you know, pictures of hammerhead sharks and things like that. But then the old people will say they just don't get it, Iggy, great pick, so... I'm trying to educate the people. For you youngsters, go look at these girls I'm putting up there.
Please don't act like you're teaching sociology at some community college, and you're really helping the next generation.
Well, I know they like porn, so I'm trying to educate them on some of the older porn stars back in the day.
There were some people legitimately upset about Lana Rhodes losing to Holly Hendricks on the fan page.
I was a little upset. No, I wasn't. I could give two craps.
Oh, easy.
I said craps, buddy.
Doug, Tori Wells was fine. Thanks. That's from the 217.
There you go. I could have put her on there, but I only have 30.
Like, one time I shot like a cuckold scene with like my dad and my brother. And that was a lot of fun to shoot.
They gotta be over 10 years old.
What about Boomer Wells?
That was a fourth
would he make
grader.
Your list? Boomer Wells, would he make your list?
He had for some power.
Doug, you know what we have to do?
What?
We have to do this Hot Shots email of the day.
Giving away a Lemmings lunch at Hot Shots. What's a Lemming lunch, you act? Ask. Nice. Yeah. A single Hot Shots burger or a double chili cheese Doug Dog with a side of TMA Hoth Tots. Tater tots covered in cheese, bacon, and wing sauce. Any Lemming can order this meal for just $6.99 Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. 11 locations. Hot Shots South County for the Blues and Penguins tonight. Morning, boys. Doug, I can confirm you do have a resting bitch face. Speaking of, why don't you come rest your bitch face on my ass?
Okay,
and
who?
Suck it?
Who?
Ray King.
Ray King has been suspended for those comments.
But it was a good callback. It was a pretty good callback.
In a period of 2 days' time, his name is in the Leatherbound Llewellyn's Pub suspension log.
Hey, boys, Wildwood is actually God's country if you think God is white and Republican. In the book, Sonny beats Carlo with the trash can lid because Carlo sent him porn that he thought was a hot woman but turned out to be a tranny. Is that true?
No. No, he beat up his sister.
But you've read the book?
No, I saw the movie. Yeah,
well, I know what he's saying in the book.
Oh, it isn't true.
Entanglements can be problematic and cringy. I know there are a lot of hot dads at youth soccer games. How do they look at b-ball games, Kat? I hear vibrators. That's from Steve in Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood.
That's not a bad one.
Iggy, I'll buy you a lifetime subscription HBO Go and give you $5,000 if you never make a list again. Justin in Columbia.
Take him up on the deal.
Hey, guys, anyone remember when Mr. Ogilvy was in studio yesterday and the cat said, so what does an alderman really do? It's a part-time thing, right? I mean, you almost have to have another job because I've seen the salary and it's not great. Ogilvy responded, no, it's my full-time job.
Nice.
Well, the point was he was getting killed for leaving to pick up his kids, and I was like, this isn't really a full-time job for most people.
You insulted the alderman.
I checked it. Most of the aldermen do have other jobs.
Well,
most
didn't.
Do.
He didn't, and I'm disappointed in you.
Also, Iggy, anytime you search Asian, it's a 50-50 chance that chick is going to have either a little bitty penis or a shrubs as wild as the Australian bush. Sometimes both. See Uncle Sato. Get it together, Larry. I'll be damned if millions of women hit the streets just so an AM radio wrestling reporter with a vibrator and three-shirt wardrobe can tell a game show icon she needs to show more leg. Doug, that comes from Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
So last night, yes, it is. So last night, Tawny and I went out to grab a bite to eat. It was a lovely dinner until it wasn't. I hear this loud laughter from the other side of the room. It's Doug and Brad Lee sitting by each other on the same side of the booth. They're flaunting their love for everybody to see. Now, I'm not upset that Doug was cheating on me because the night before I had a long sesh with Tool Belt for Daddy and Jack Demoff. I was pissed because Doug had a horrible show that morning and he clearly didn't care. His suspensions were down. He was actually giving good analysis and not the whack analysis we're all accustomed to. So I waited for him to go to the bathroom and we did a role play where I was an Asian tranny and he was my slave boy and I put his back out.
Okay, that's
enough.
White
collar gangster.
That's enough. White collar gangster has been suspended for those comments. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name will appear in the Llewellyn's Pub suspension log. You'll written there by my Right Business Products pen.
Howdy, Iggy is not as creepy as you think. Let me explain. The transmission went out on his Honda Accord, so he took to the interwebs to find a new part. After looking over the goodly wares of an auto repair near Belgium, auto supplier near Belgium, he declined because the shipping costs were too high for the tiny country of Gérard Depardieu. Iggy went back to the web and broadened his search for a Honda transmission by typing in Asian trannies. Well, you know what happened next. He was incorrectly bombarded with pics of Eastern women with dealios. It's a common mistake. Doug, that comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
And that's what we have for the Hot Shots email of the day. Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, little lady.
I wrote down six. Matt, who bowls at Hank's,
wow,
White Collar,
wow,
Gangster,
wow.
Bill Pullman, Justin Columbia, Stephen Wildwood, Ray King. All good. All good. I think I'm going to go with White Collar Gangster.
Well, he was suspended. He's not eligible. I'll go with a fellow by the name of Wildwood, Steve in Wildwood.
I'm going to go with Steve in Wildwood as well. It was Matt who bowls at Hank's for Steve in Wildwood. Congratulations to Steve in Wildwood. You've won a Lemmings lunch at Hot Shots. Hey, Michael's Flooring Outlet's now open in Darden Prairie. Come see their new awesome location. They have huge savings on almost everything in the store. Come check it out. Check out their Mohawk Smart Strand Silk with DuPont Serona. It's Michael's Flooring Outlet online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. They want you to shop the competition first and then come in and they'll beat it. So bring in the competitor's bid and they will beat it. When you think of Michael's, you should think local. Michael's has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years in St. Charles County and West County and North County and Darden Prairie and online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
Tullamore.com. Tullamore Dew, the official Irish whiskey, the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We thank them for their support, and we ask you that you support the sponsors. Frank's up next. It's Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box for the Plow Penguin, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HT2 FM and inside STL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.